Blog Talk Radio.
And not only the image, but even down to the name. Where it's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way.
Poetic Energy Network.
Station.
Shalom, what's going on? We back again for another Shabbat, man, it's going down. How are you living out there, chilling on the Sabbath, just living it up, man? You just getting some good rest in. I know your work week was intense. I know it's a lot of spiritual warfare going on out there with the pagan days coming up. But hey, we just want to encourage you today. We want to, first of all, just pray and go to the throne, and let's seek Yahuwah. Father Yahuwah, in Yahushua HaMashiach's name, Father, we thank you for another day, another Sabbath. Father, we pray that you would just teach us by your Ruach HaKodesh, and that you would show us great and awesome and mighty things that are going on in the earth, Father, and everything that's transpiring. And you would show us the spiritual atmosphere in today, today, and what's going on, Father, that we may be prepared for what's at hand. May you decrease us that you may increase. In the name of Yahushua, we pray. So be it. Hallelujah. Amen. Yo, we back, man. What's going on, man? This week has been wild, but we got some news. We got some breaking news. We had a rumor, because we're living in a day where Yahushua said, you know, there will be wars and rumors of wars. So there's wars coming, and there's also rumors of wars. Earlier this week we had a report that came out that said, you know, U.S. had fired some shots at Iran, but the report. We do want to get into some other things before we get into what the, you know, the wars and the rumors of wars. We want to get into, you know, we've been keeping you up to date about the Mark of the Beast. We've been keeping you up to date about the Mark of the Beast and how they're pushing it, because, you know, this won't go mainstream. They won't tell you how they are pushing the Mark of the Beast, how the Mark of the Beast is one day going to show up on your doorstep, you know, for those people that, you know, are oblivious to the fact and thinking it's not going to happen, or it's conspiracy and all that. We want to show you that, hey, they are marching forward to do this. They are marching forward to prepare everyone for the Mark of the Beast. So right now, I want to read an article right here. This came out a couple weeks ago, but it was talking about this is something I didn't really know about. The article is Israel orders viral chip for Israeli Defense Force. Now this is what it says. I'm going to skim through the article a little bit. It says Posit ID, the company that manufactured the viral chip RFID tag, has announced a deal to provide Israeli Defense Force with a chip. It says the viral chip, which is primarily marketed as a device for retrieving medical records using the viral made package, and a number of useful applications. Positive ID Vero Pay system, where the chip is used to credit card to authorize financial transactions, is already employed by a Baja Beach club in Spain. Yeah, if you look that up, they have a club in Spain where, you know, people can put tabs on their drinks and everything with the Marco chip, you know, in their hand. It says a few years ago, this is something I didn't know. A few years ago, the Viral Chip Corporation revealed that they were in talks with the U.S. administration, but these talks are still going on, to implant 1.4 million service personnel with the viral chip to replace the metal dog tags currently worn by the troops. It says the news reported at that time the device is usually panning above the triceps or in the individual's right arm. It says in the right arm, but can also be planted in the hand if scanned properly at proper frequencies. So this is pretty much what's going on. But they were saying, this is a quote right here. This is a quote about them tagging soldiers. It said the company's integrated partners intends to provide microchips to Israeli Defense Forces, the state Israeli military force. Mark Polshak, Positive IDs, Vice President of Business Development, said, "We believe there are many important applications for the viral chip and our associations intellectual property, including next-generation identification and biosense capabilities. Our partner is looking to help healthcare organizations, military, including the IDF, which is the Israeli Defense Force, and governments with the disaster preparation emergency response needs." So basically, they were saying that they want to tag these soldiers and make it more make it easier for have identification for soldiers that are in the military. So you have that going on. What else? And so it's continuing to creep. It's continuing to creep, just like we talked about. It's like we talked about Revelations 13. It's continuing to creep. Now, this is a very interesting article. We're going to move on to about the Mark of the Beast. We're going to talk about the potential wars and rumors of wars. Now, I found an article right here that talks about Russia. Now, a lot of people believe, according to when you read Ezekiel and everything, that Russia is actually the army for the North. We're actually going to get into that later. Not today, but we're going to get into that later. But right here, the article says, Russia has dispatched a flagship of fleets, aircraft carriers, Admiral, sorry about this pronouncing of his name, Kamu Zuha, it says, as well as the destroyer, Admiral Karbankov, to the Eastern Mediterranean, where they will visit the naval base in Syria. So, also this ship is being monitored by the HMS York, 30 miles off the coast of Fife, Scotland, in international waters. The voice of Russia said that its task will be to join an exercise in the Mediterranean. This includes Tartarus, a Syrian port where Russia has a resupplied base. So it said, and also part of this article says, the news came as the United Nations accused Assad and his regime of a murdering of 5,000 of his own citizens. Russia's officials said that the tour by the warships and an escort is of the submarines, hunter ships, and air surveillance weapons have been planned well ahead of the recent violence in Syria. So basically, when you blah blah blah, when we get through the article, it talks about basically it seems like that the Russians have come to aid and back Syria because Syria was charged with the United Nations charged Assad with killing some of his own citizens, and so the Russians like, yo, we plan to go here before all this happened. But we know, according to the scriptures, it's a lot of things that kind of match up that says some of these nations like Syria, Libya, and some of these northern nations will kind of combine forces and maybe in an effort to invade a certain land. But we'll talk about that later, and that's all in the prophecies of Ezekiel, which we're going to really break down. And a big thing that I was noticing is that you also have to realize when we start talking about this, the invading of Israel, quote-unquote, is what you have to understand is Israel is not really Israel, number one. You have to understand that, hey, though the people, the Jews, the Ashkenazi Jews, are not Yahuwah's people. So you have to really, that's a fact that a lot of people, a lot of so-called prophets, you know, they talk about this, and they talk about the defense and the divine protection they have because they're his people, when in fact that is a lie. Because they are not his people, they are the synagogue of Satan or Hasatan, who say they are Yahudim, but do lie. So we're going to talk about that later, but that is the biggest thing right there, and that's a strategic move. You can kind of see everybody strategically moving around. We also have, I also had some pictures of U.S. actually deporting ships and naval bases. We had last week, we talked about how China said he told his naval base, he told his Navy and everything to prepare for war. So we have a lot of people just moving around, placing their chips, you know, and of course the Gregorian calendar year. We know that we're in the ninth month of the year, far as in Hebrew. But, you know, the Gregorian pagan calendar year is changing to 2012. And so we know that the so-called, you know, Illuminati and the elite will be behind and begin to propagate events as they have pushed, you know, through different medias about the coming of the 2012 year. So we'll keep you abreast on that. But yeah, you still listen to Poetic Energy Network. I'm Yahuwah Sai, and this is still on the way. So we got a little bit more news about this war. There's talking about, this is an article I seen today in ABC News right here. It says there's signs of a covert war between the U.S. and Iran. So when we look, when we start talking about Ezekiel, when we get into that, you'll see why are these nations at conflict with each other, because it was already written that these nations will be in conflict with each other and will end up going, you know, to war with each other. So, but this article right here says there are unavoidable signs that the U.S. and Iran are engaging in significant covert actions against one another, including cyber war. It says among the alleged covert activities have been reported are attacks on the U.S. troops in Iraq and Afghanistan directed by the Iranian Quds Force, often used by Iranian design improving explosive devices, U.S. manipulation, tampering, contamination of parts, materials brought by Iran from other countries to use missile and nuclear programs. There's another point they're saying. They say an attempt by the members of Iranian's elite and the Quds forces to hire preliminaries from Mexico drug cartel to conduct terrorist bombing in Washington. The destruction of Iranian nuclear centrifuges or like facilities by U.S. computer viruses known as SUTNET. Okay, so basically, and this is another point right here, it says the U.S. drone over flights of Iranian nuclear facilities and Iranian response. Two drones were shot down over Iran before a recent Iranian capture in the U.S. Stealth drone. So I looked at another article and they said that they actually had one of the drones, I guess like a plane or something, from the U.S. in which they said that the U.S. was trying to, you know, do some things or spy, and they had it on display. And you probably can look this article up. So a lot of things are going on. I just looked on the Jerusalem Post. It was a funeral of 44 people that were killed in the twin suicide car bombs and they had rallies of Christians and Muslims, and they were chanting in Syria were chanting death to America. So you have, you know, Syria, they were chanting this, they were, you know, and a lot of things going on in Syria with these people being killed, these 44 people was being killed, and they people blamed it on the Muslims. The Muslims said they didn't do it, and they're over there just chanting death to America. They're saying it's America's fault. And so it's a lot going back and forth. You have Syria. And when you began to look into the spirit, so you'd be like, well, what all this means? When you began to look into the spirit, you began to see that Yahushua said, nation shall rise against nation. So you begin to understand, okay, now what's going on is Yahusha's words are starting to become clear and more evident. He says, nation shall rise against nation. So we want to read that one time. Let's go to Matthew real quick. You go to Matthew. You go to Matthew 24. Matthew 24 is a very telling scripture because Yahusha gives every point of how things are going to work out. Look, this is what he says. He says, for many will come, this is Matthew 24, verse 5. He says, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and they shall lead many astray. You shall begin to hear of fightings and reports of fightings. See, he said, you begin to hear of fightings. What are we hearing now? We heard a while back, Libya, you know, all these people rising up to occupy, these people fighting on the streets, all these people, okay? He says, you will begin to hear of fightings and report of fightings. That's what's going on now. Syria, this violence, the violence going on, people being killed. We talked about the 5,000 citizens that were killed, and all these things are going on. These people being killed. He says, but Yahusha says, see that you are not troubled, for these have to take place, but the end is not yet. So a lot of people saying, oh yeah, we're upon the end, like 2012. You know, the world will make you believe that 2012 is actually the end. And we're upon the end. But actually, that's false, and we're not actually upon the end. We actually have a little while to go, you know. So that's one big thing right there you have. He says, for nation shall rise against nation and reign against reign, and there shall be. So let's pause right there. So that's what's happening now. Nation is rising against nation. So when you look into the spirit, you begin to see, okay, these powers that be over there, they're rising against these powers over here, these powers over here. Because when you look at it in the spirit, you see in the Ruach, you see that there is governments. There is also government. Just like there is in the natural, there are governments, there are also spiritual governments. And Yahusha said himself, a kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. Okay, who is divided against himself? Hasatan is actually divided against himself. And that's why he will be destroyed, because he is divided against himself, you know. But the kingdom of Yahuwah is not divided against itself. We are one in the spirit of Yahusha, okay? So that is what is going on. You see these kingdoms divided against itself, nation rising against nation. And so next, what's the next verse? And there shall be scarcity of food, daily disease, earthquakes in places. They just had an earthquake. I think it was in Christchurch just the other day, which was pretty massive. So you have these things going on, and it's beginning to unfold. It's beginning to unfold, but the end is not yet. So that's what you have to remember. The end is not yet. We still have, but the stage is actually being set for a lot of things to unfold. So that's one thing right there. I found another article, you know, it talks about the nuclear Iran, you know, a potential war with Syria. So Iran, so it's just a lot of things that are going on that you're talking about. Nuclear war is possible, that we talked about a while back, that Iran possibly had nuclear weapons. And so you have just a lot of things adding to the pot, a lot of things adding to the pot. And so what I wanted to do now, I wanted to kind of, not almost a freestyle, but right before we got onto the show, had a little revelation about what's actually going on, because you have, if you turn to the book of Revelations, so you have to understand this thing right here. You have to understand when you dig into what's going on in the earth, when you dig, you began to see, okay, we learned that the Club of Rome a while back, which was a group that met, was part of basically the umbrella of David Rockefeller, and we talked about David Rockefeller, how he created the Federal Reserve, and how he basically made a statement and said, you know, the end goal was to have money in chips, electronic money, and everybody who does not, you know, accept this will not be able to, you know, buy or sell and different things like that. That was one of his statements, the person who created the Federal Reserve. And he had a, we actually read a quote one time where he knew people would was against what he was saying. He agreed that, hey, he's, you know, he doesn't care. So, but we learned that the Club of Rome, one of the sub partners and umbrellas of that, created a map in which they came and they set down, you know, all the elite people, so-called elite people of the world, like the Bilderberg groups, and they set down, they made a plan dividing the nations in the world up to 10 sections in which they will be governed, the biggest 10 sections of the world. Okay, so when you get into that, it connects to prophecy because we talk about the 10 horns, right? The 10 horns is basically, we know that the United Nations is made up of, the United Nations is made up of these nations. That's what it's called, United Nations. So the United Nations is basically that governing body, okay? And we know that Rome, which is the Roman Catholic Church, is the woman who sits on seven hills. So when we go to Revelations 17, and let's go to verse 12. It says, and the 10 horns which you saw are the 10 sovereigns who have not yet received their reign, but receive authority as sovereigns with the beast for 1 hour. Right? So the sovereigns, the kings, the kingdoms of the earth, the United Nations, will receive their power, meaning they will eventually receive authority over their sections as governing bodies, meaning there is no longer a state power. And what I mean by that, there is no longer a United States. There is a governing body in which the United Nations have total control over everything. So that means now your constitution now is in jeopardy. You know, all your other laws are in jeopardy because they are submitted to the world global one girl government called the United Nations, in which the woman, the whore, rides that, which is the Roman Catholic Church. We know, we talked about a couple weeks ago how the Roman Catholic Church, how the Pope comes up and says, we need a governing body for a global world system as far as economics goes. And what do you have here? Then you have, after that, you have the G20 summit, which is basically like the United Nations, and they're putting forth the same plan of what the Pope said. Exactly, because that's prophecy, that the woman rides the UN. So basically, if think about it as a parable. If you ride a horse, you control the horse. You control the horse. You have the bit is in the horse mouth, so you can let up, you can pull it, you can make it go faster, you can make it go slower. And so the Pope and the Vatican is really control of in the spiritual realm, they are in control of the United Nations and how they will govern. So right here it says that the 10 horns, it said that in verse 12 it says, in the 10 horns which you saw are the 10 sovereigns who have not yet received their reign, but receive authority as reigns with the beast for 1 hour. It said they have one mind to give their power and authority to the beast. Okay? So remember that, number one, the Vatican rides the 10 horns, okay? The Vatican rides the 10 horns. And if we go back up, it says in verse 9, 17 and 9, it says, here is wisdom. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sits, okay? So it breaks it down right there. It breaks it down right there, and we get to see, okay, that beast number one, think about it. When we talked about chapter 13, beast number one consists of a monster. Think about a monster with 10 horns and 7 heads. That's one beast. That's one thing. Okay? So when it talks about right here, the seven sovereigns, remember that the heads are with it. So you're talking about Rome and the United Nations. That's what we're talking about. They have one mind. Verse 13 says, they have one mind, and they shall give their power and authority to the beast. Okay, what is the beast, though? What is the beast? It says they have given their power and authority to the beast. Okay, we know according to Revelation 13 that we know that the beast, the name of the beast, is you know, 666 is Jesus, Jesus. Okay, we know that to be fact. Okay, we know that to be fact, that that is the name of the beast. Okay, so check this. This is the revelation I had earlier. Like, this is so wild. Okay, a lot of people don't know what is really the end connection of the beast. What is actually the end connection of the beast? Because a lot of people say, oh, it's the Nine Nations, and it is the Nine Nations, but what people forget, this is the thing people forget about when they talk about the beast and talk about the head of the beast, who is actually, who does the United Nations and the United Nations and the Vatican want to give their power to? Who what's in their heart to give their power to who? And I'm going to tell you, it is the Jewish Ashkenazi nation. That's what it is. It is the Jewish Ashkenazi nation. And I'm going to show you why. Okay, you remember, if we go back in the day, you had a thing called the Sanhedrin. You had the Jewish Sanhedrin, which was the governing body. And so I want to read this article right here. It says, the Jewish Sanhedrin reestablished on October 13th, the Sanhedrin, the highest tribunal of the Jewish state and religion, was re-inaugurated by a group of rabbis in Tiberias after 16,000 years of absence. According to Jewish sources, the last notice of the Sanhedrin was around 425 AD, also the city of Tiberias. It says after that it ceased to exist. Okay, this was from the Israel National News Online. Okay, so you're talking about, and we're going to give you a little bit of history. It says, the idea of the Jewish Sanhedrin originated from Jethro, who was advised by Moshe, his son-in-law, to choose a group of elderly men to help him judge the people. You know, that's Exodus 18:17-26. It was officially founded by Elohim, ordered Moshe to choose 70 men from Israel, Yisrael, Numbers 11:16, to bring them before the tabernacle, the tent of the meeting, where they would receive enlightenment to judge the people who violated the Torah. Okay, so this was this. Now I'm going to show you something that's very interesting. Okay, now, we're going to get back whole Revelation 17 in your mind. Hey, because this is reading real good, okay? So, historically speaking, under it's kind of a blurry. It's kind of blurry where this modern day, because you remember, Yahushua also picked 70 disciples and he sent them out. The thing that kind of boggles your mind is, where in history was it ordained or said that the Ashkenazi nation could have a Sanhedrin? I haven't heard it. I know Moshe had it. You know, Moshe had it. But who gave the authority for the so-called Yahudim to have this type of Sanhedrin? But yet they had the Sanhedrin. There's nowhere in the scriptures where I see that, unless somebody can, you know, show me. I see nowhere in the scriptures where, just because Moshe had that, and because through his father Jethro, that they had a Sanhedrin. But yet this Sanhedrin existed. This is the same court, and same court that the Pharisees, basically, it's a bunch of Pharisees. These rabbis, they're a bunch of Pharisees. And why did they put Yahushua to death? They put Yahushua to death because we talked about it a couple weeks ago. It was one of the Talmudic laws in which they had, and they put Yahushua to death. Now, I want to read this quote. It says, historically speaking, this tribunal had little influence until the Jewish exile under the Persians, when it started effectively judging the difficult questions of the Jewish people. Now, when we talk about Yahushua, wow, listen to this. When we start talking about Yahushua, because you got to understand what was going on at the time. The Pharisees, he said the Pharisees sit in Moshe's seat. What do you mean by that? The Pharisees sit in Moshe's seat. That means that they sit in, remember, Moshe sat with the 100, with the word Sanhedrin means sitting together. Okay? That's what the word Sanhedrin meant. So when Moshe sat with the 70 elders who would judge the problems of Yisrael, now these Pharisees sit in the same seat as Moshe, and he said, and they actually mistranslated that scripture. When you look into that scripture, into the Greek, that scripture actually meant, because a lot of people say, obey all that they do, all that they say do. He wasn't saying that. Yahushua didn't say that. Yahushua originally said, he said that all that he says do. He's talking about Moshe because Moshe wrote the Torah. He's not talking about the Sanhedrin, the Jews, because a lot of people in the scriptures, even in the KJV, he'll make it say like, okay, all that the Sanhedrin would say do. Why would Yahushua go against the Pharisees and then say all that they say do? That doesn't make any sense. But that has been perpetrated in order to, when they start making these Noahide laws, that's what we're going to talk about in a little bit. So they sit in Moshe's seat. This court of 71 counted 70 or more important members of the the Yahudim people, priests or lay, plus the high priest. Okay, remember, it was 70 plus one, which was supposed to be the high priest. Okay, and so you remember Moshe actually was symbolically of Yahushua. He was the intermediary. Me and the wife were talking about this. It's like how Moshe was a prophet, and he was interceding between the people. Like when they sinned and they did the golden calf, he went up to them and interceded for them and said, you know, don't destroy them. And Yahuwah, you know, relented. He told them about the promises, and he interceded in between there. And through that, we get to see how the greater prophet, the Messiah, Yahushua, was, because he interceded for the people. He interceded on our behalf when we should have got destroyed. You know, he interceded. And so Yahushua was a form of the greater covenant. But when we look at Moshe, we can kind of see the symbolic nature of how he used. So he was sitting in that seat, and he was almost, in a sense, almost kind of like the high priest, you know, because it was just too much. So they had that going on. Okay, but we know that they had Aaron also. You know, Aaron was the high priest. So when we look at this, the Jews who are waiting for their Messiah, the Ashkenazi Jews who are waiting for their Messiah, they're waiting for their high priest. And so they condemn you. This court condemned Yahushua to death. So this court right here is which, when you understand this, Revelation 17, 13. I said all this to say this. Okay. Now, this Sanhedrin, okay, I want to read this another note. I have to read this another note. The destruction of the temple in 70 AD by Titus, and the destruction of Yahudim nation in 30 AD by Ardan. It said the Sanhedrin just disappeared, and it was said that reconstituted in Jablon or something like that. So, number one, we still haven't found out who actually gave these rabbis authority to be a Sanhedrin in the first place. I don't know. I don't know what scripture that was where he said, I know he told Moshe that, but I don't know if he told them to do it. But anyway, negating that fact, October 13, 2004, they bring together 71 rabbis. One of the leaders of the initiative to revive the Sanhedrin, Rabbi Yashi Bonan, he said that the 71 rabbis, it says, from across the spectrum of the, and one of the top rabbis, I think the leader of this movement is the guy who is in charge of the Temple Institute. And the Temple Institute, if you don't know, you can go check out their website. The Temple Institute is also the same website in which they're trying to, number one, get the sacrifice going back. They're trying to get sacrifices going because they don't believe in the Messiah, so they believe they still have to do the sacrifices. And what's going to happen is, according to Daniel 9:27, it said that the anti-Messiah, he will come and put an end to the sacrifices. Okay, so they're about to start sacrificing. So we know that once they start sacrificing, you have about a couple years before the anti-Messiah is coming, because he's going to say, hey, we don't need to do sacrifices because the Messiah is here, you know, now. And we know that now, that we don't have to do sacrifices anymore, but they are still waiting on their Messiah, you know. So they'll feel like a couple years ago, they actually built, this has not been publicized in your Western media, but they actually built, you can check it up on YouTube, you probably got a couple videos, but they actually built a third replica temple in which to train rabbis, the so-called Ashkenazi rabbis, in order for them to learn how to sacrifice and begin to, I don't think they actually started through sacrificing yet, but they have the priest garments and different things like that. And so what you have here is you have Revelation 17:13. They have one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. When you're talking about the Zionists, the Ashkenazi Jews, when you really talk about it, the people behind these banks and different things like that are the Zionists. The people behind Hollywood are Jews. They are, because you have layers. You have layers. These, the Kabbalist Ashkenazi Jews believe, they have committed the unpardonable sin. I mean, this is the most wicked of wicked. You're talking about, I'm not saying everyone, every Jew, has committed the unpardonable sin, but I'm saying a lot of them, because they don't believe in the Messiah, and they blaspheme the Messiah, because that same spirit of the Pharisees is on them, is they have committed the unpardonable sin. What you mean by that is unforgivable. Once you blaspheme the Ruach HaKodesh, saying that he wasn't born of a virgin and all these different things, you have blasphemed the Ruach HaKodesh, and there is no more forgiveness, never in this life or the next. So you're talking about people who are wickedly evil, who will kill you and don't care about it, because it's already settled for them. They are the children of Hashatan, period. Yahushua said it. He said that y'all say y'all are the father, you know, just like, you know, you have Hebrews today. They say they're the father, their father is Abraham, but yet they don't want to believe in Yahushua. And Moshe wrote about Yahushua. He said, if you listen to Moshe, you know, Moshe wrote about him. So you have these rabbis who constituted this body, and they have instated, we talked about before, about the Noahide laws. They created these laws which saying, hey, you can't do this, you can't do this, and they superimposed that over the 10 words. So what you have here, I want to play this picture out. What you have here is the end result. Because Hashatan, this is the whole goal, is what you got to think about. This is the whole goal. The anti-Messiah will try to rule the world. Will rule the world for a little bit, for the time that his time is short. He knows that after that fight in Shemam, when you have Michael and his messengers fight the dragon and his messengers, and he's kicked out of Shemam and he's kicked to earth, and the messenger says, woe to the earth for the devil, the old dragon, you know, the accuser of our brother, he's been kicked to earth. He knows that his time is short. So that's when the Great Tribulation happens, that last 3.5 years. So we know that, hey, what's going to happen is Hashatan is going to enter the actual body, the physical human being of and take form of the anti-Messiah. And what you have here is he's going to try to rule the world from Jerusalem, okay? And so what you have here is he's going to be mad deceptive and going to deceive the Ashkenazi Jews, in which now you have the Sanhedrin, you have the anti-Messiah ruling the world. So now the powers of the United Nations and the Vatican, no longer the United Nations in this time, when the anti-Messiah comes to earth, no longer are they in power, but they have one mind and give their power unto the beast, which is the son of perdition. JC, Jesus the Christ, which people worship. They have their they have in their heart to give their power to that guy. And so when the Sanhedrin and him are in authority now, now you have, number one, before that, you had your local government, you had your state government, you had all this under the jurisdiction of the United Nations. So now when power transfers, you have the United Nations under the authority of the beast, JC, and the Sanhedrin. So now if they're under that power, and your state, your local government, wherever you're living at, your local police department is now under jurisdiction of the anti-Messiah, JC, because that's where the chain goes. It goes to the, it goes from your local government to the United Nations to, you know, the Sanhedrin to the beast. So basically you can skip it all and say your local government works for the beast, Jesus Christ, okay? There, now you have, now you begin to see the picture of how people are going to be delivered up. Because these people are going to be the people that take the mark of the beast. Take the mark of the beast. They're going to be madly. I know this sounds like a, you know, science fiction movie, but they're going to be madly controlled by the beast. I mean, madly controlled like mind control. So you see how we were talking about the Noahide laws. How, you know, you don't receive the mark of the beast. You don't receive the mark of the beast. You know, or, and bow to that system. You know, they have, and they have the Noahide laws out. You know, you will be killed. You will be killed. They will deliver you up. They was it, it, even in the Noahide laws, with the Sanhedrin created, the Ashkenazi Jews created, is one of them is, you know, you should not blaspheme. So you saying the name Yahuwah is Elohim. You know, that's almost blasphemy. What they put Yahusha to death for? You know, we talked about that a couple weeks ago. Blasphemy. So they blaspheme. You so-called blaspheme, they deliver you up. The Torah says that you have to have two or three witnesses, you know, any matter should be established by two or three witnesses, you know. So, but in this system, in the beast system, the future beast system, it doesn't take that. So we want to go back to Matthew 24. So you go back to Matthew 24, and it says, look, he says, Matthew 24 and 8, it says, and all these are the beginning of the birth pains. Then they shall deliver you up to affliction and kill you, and you shall be hated by all nations for my name's sake. See, Hashitan, this is the thing, is Hashitan and his fallen ones hate the name of Yahushua. So you're talking about the Great Tribulation, where you have a lot of people being killed, you know, when they officially issue the Mark of the Beast, which we talked about, you know, the RFID, you know, chip, and they have that system in which it's gonna be circled around religion and everything, because that's how they do it. They cloak it so it looks like it's innocent, and so you have that, and we're gonna continue to give more connections between these Noahide laws, you know, these Noahide laws and the Mark of the Beast. Because it's public law 102-14. So what they make it is they're not going to, you know, the enemy is not stupid. They're going to make it so it's legally they can kill you. And today, on America's books, legally they can kill you. I don't know if a lot of people know that. Legally, if they wanted to, they can come up to you and snatch you out of your house and kill you. Just like we read last week, they have a patent, U.S. patent, that says they can implant a microchip in your arm and track you with a GPS system. That's a legal document that's on America's books. It's a legal document that says one of the laws for the Noahide law is, hey, if you don't bow to this, you don't bow to this system, you know, you will be decapitated. Your head will be cut off. And so it's legally on paper. Noahide law, public law 102-14, that you can get your head cut off for not taking the mark of the beast, basically, which in layman terms is. Okay, and so how do I know all this is true? When we go to Revelations 20, see right now is what happens is, we're going to go back and read another scripture, but before we get to Revelation 20, yeah, let's stop there. Before we get to Revelation 20, let's go to Revelation 13. So what you have now is the beast, the ten heads, the ten horns, the ten horns with the seven heads, the beast number one, and beast number two is the son of perdition. What you have here is it's in their heart, just like we read in Revelation 13, to give their power unto the beast, to give their power unto JC, okay? But what you have here is that, we're going to read this, is that the system is already set up. It just hasn't had breath breathed into it. It just hasn't been activated. Like the button hasn't been pushed in order for the people to be killed. But, everybody's moving chess pieces and everything, and we're going to prove it right here. Revelation 13, verse 10. This talks about the second beast. This talks about JC right here, the son of perdition. It says, he who brings into captivity shall go into captivity, and he who kills with the sword shall be killed with the sword. Here is endurance and the belief of the set apart ones. And I saw another beast coming up from the earth, who had ten horns, had two horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. So, when you think about a lamb, what is a lamb? A lamb is very innocent, very calm, a very calm animal, so that you can see right there, that gives the image of, son of perdition will not come off as brash. He will come off like the Messiah. He will actually come off like the Messiah, because you read apocryphal works like the Apocalypse of Elijah. It talks about that he will do everything in which the Messiah said, except raise the dead alone. So he will walk on water. He'll heal sick people, kill lame, call lightning from the sky. He would do all this stuff, And this is what it says. Look, it says, and I saw another beast coming up out of the earth who had two horns like a lamb but spoke like a dragon. So, yes, he'll look like the Messiah, but he'll speak like the dragon. We know that the dragon is actually the serpent from old, the devil, okay? So, it says he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and those who dwell on it to worship the first beast whom deadly wounds healed. So we know the first beast was Rome and the United Nations, okay? So we know Rome, their empire had a deadly wound, but it was healed, okay? It says, and he does, so you're talking about, he causes everybody, just like Anthony's Epiphanes, or I think his name, came, and when he came to destroy the temple, he made everybody, eat pigs, and he went against the covenant. Like, he went against the commandments. He caused everybody with the Sunday worship and just everything that's against the Torah, against the commandments, is what he'll do. So the anti-Messiah will get everybody to worship Rome, and we know Roman Catholic system is just like not even close. So he's going to get everybody to try to, do abominations. That's basically what it is. He does great signs so that even makes fire come down from the heaven on earth before men. It says, and he leads astray those dwelling on earth because of the signs which he had been given to do before the beast, saying that those dwell on earth make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and yet live. And there was given to him, it says, and there was, and there was, and there was given to him to give. Okay, yeah. So I want to pause right there because I got a note right there. Okay. So when we talk about the image of the beast, we talked about when we looked into the Greek before, we looked at something very, very interesting. When you look at 666 in the Greek, an image actually comes with that. I don't know if you know, but the image that comes with that is actually a cross. So the image that comes with that, so you're talking about that he makes everybody, the cross. Okay, that is the image that comes with the 666. It actually says that when you look in the Strong's Concordance, I'm not sure, I don't have the number with me, but it will say a cross. So what you have here is you have, and last week, what did we talk about? Last week we talked about even when you look at the things for the mark, the companies that Virochip and all these people acquired, their symbolic images, you know, we get 666 and you get, we'll talk about that later. We'll pause right there. We'll leave that for next week. We'll leave that for next week about the mark, the image of the beast. We'll talk about that. But hey, but right here, look. So you have, look, right here it says, he causes, so think about it. If the image of the beast is on this chip, the image of the beast is on this chip, this RFID identification chip, because we talked about last week about the push pins. It's more demonic than you actually think. It says, and he caused all, both small, great, rich, and poor, free, and slave, to be given a mark upon their right hand or upon their foreheads, so that no one should be able to buy or sell except they have the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Okay? So what you have here, in conclusion, you have the Sanhedrin, their power given into the beast. They're going to give all their power to the beast. And the beast, I think we skipped that scripture. He says, oh, verse 15, it says, there was given to him to give the spirit of the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause to be killed as many as would not worship the image of the beast. So a lot of people think, and there was given to him, who is, they're talking about him being the son of perdition, the spirit, it says, to give the spirit to the image of the beast, and the image of the beast. So when it says speak, a lot of people say, well, is it a human because it speaks? No. Not necessarily true, because when you read Habakkuk, it says, you know, that the vision is for an appointed time, but it does speak, you know, to the end. And so when it says, when they use terminology sometimes like speak, it means like it's something that was established and now it comes forth, so now it speaks. So we just talked about how now the beast system is already in play, in which it just hasn't been breathed life into, and the son of perdition is going to breathe life into this beast system, these Noahide laws, these things in which they can decapitate people legally, because you don't worship the beast. And we're going to prove it. Go to Revelation 20. This is what it says. Revelation 20, in verse 4, it says, and I saw thrones, and they that sat on them, and judgment was given to them, and the lives of those who had been beheaded because of the witness they bore to Yahushua, and because of the word of Elohim, who did not worship the beast nor his image, and did not receive the mark upon their forehead or upon their hands. And they lived and reigned with the Messiah for 1,000 years. So that's what you're talking about, the last 3.5 years, the Great Tribulation, when the mark of the beast is instituted. So we have to tell people this. We have to tell people, hey, man, because the mark of the beast, we talk about the RFID chip and all that, but the mark of the beast is the name of Jesus Christ. So if anybody's connected to JC worship, whether it be Christmas, Easter, we'll be going to talk about Christmas real quick, is they got to get up out of there, because they're worshiping the son of perdition. That's how serious it is. And we talk about the punishment for worshiping the mark of the beast, for worshiping the beast and taking his image. So right now, we kind of have grace. Right now, Yahushua has given us grace in which we can tell people can repent, you know. But when it comes down to, and when they actually institute the mark of the beast, it's official, there will be no repentance. There is either left or right. He said you have to choose life, you have to choose death in that day. And so we pray that we are worthy to escape those things that will come upon the earth. But right now it's our duty to tell people, hey, JC, Jesus Christ, that's the beast. That's the name of the beast. That is the name of the beast. And this right here, this doctrine right here will get you killed because people, you know, Christians don't want to hear, oh, you know, the person you grew up with, you learned, you know, his name was JC, you know, they don't want to hear that. But what you got to remember is, hey, that's the name of the beast. So we want to, we're kind of running out of time right now, but we want to really get into, because today is one of the day before, you know, one of the false high days. So we don't have time to really get, we was going to play a clip, but we don't have time for that. But we want to break some things down real quick. We talked about last week about how Nimrod, you know, was, you know, Nimrod died, and he became, basically he became Baal. And, his, you know, he married his mother, and we, so a lot of people in the truth kind of know about those things. But I want to give some quick facts that I found. And want to give you a nugget that shows you, and big shout out to my wife right here, but a big nugget that shows you that, hey, I don't care if a Christian says, you know, we worship the bird, we're going to show you how actually it is impossible because they worship Hashatan. Okay, I got a little quick facts right here for you about Christmas. You might can share this with somebody you get a chance. It says, is Satan really the acronym of Satan? Is Santa the acronym of Satan? As in the film Santa's Sleigh. It says, many people think so, citing that the fact Santa is also referred to as a jolly old Nick Saint Nick. It says, just as the devil once was known as Old Nick. Okay? Others claim that Santa hails from the opposite end of the spectrum, as improvised by his seminaries in Zeus, or Odin, identified as Norse. Mythology as Geo, with the god of the sky. It says, like Santa Claus, Odin ruled from far north and had an all-seeing eye who sees all when you are sleeping. See this? You notice the songs? You notice the songs that be played around, you know, the time of Christmas, and it says, you know, he sees you when you're sleeping, you know, and all this stuff. That is actually demonic because the all-seeing eye claims to see you when you, you know, you sleep. It says, you see you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. So how are you supposed to be in the North Pole? I mean, just think, how are you supposed to be in the North Pole and you see everybody? Come on, man. We already know that's Hashatan infiltrating that in people's minds and playing that. It says, and he gave gifts to the Yuletide to those who are honoring him. Those honorees did so at the site of the scarred fir tree, not like the ones under the which they lay gifts. The latter interpretation of Mr. Claus is literally godlike status, which he have battled Satan, as does the bizarre Mexican fantasy Santa Claus, makes sense. As some cultures, it is believed that Santa actually made the devil his Christmas tree slave. Okay? So that's one of the things. And of course, we talked about Nimrod. We talked about Nimrod last time. It says, another possible forerunner for Santa Claus is the biblical figure Nimrod, the great-grandson of Moses. It says, after his death, Nimrod's mother, Ishtar, allegedly had an evergreen tree planted in the burial site in order to everyone in the kingdom to decorate on Nimrod's birthday. Nimrod was described as the mighty hunter before Yahuwah. It says, but it is also known that less honorable acts were attempted and failing to construct the giant tower and impregnating his own mother. So, you know, he impregnated his own mother and they had Talmud, which was, you know, supposed to be the incarnation of, Baal, which is actually, and so when you really get down to it, they actually said that Baal, this is the nugget, I want to leave this nugget right here, man, this is big. They actually said that Baal, okay, when Nimrod died, okay, Samaritan's mother actually said that he was the Sun Mighty One, now the Sun incarnated as Baal. You look it up, do any research. So Baal is actually, quote-unquote, Nimrod, okay? Now check this. What happened is subsequently, year after year, on the winter solstice, that's the day, you know, that's the day that deals with the sun, you know, deals with the sun basically, changing over and coming into the winter. The winter solstice would used to be, you know, the Gregorian day, December 21st. It was actually changed to December 25th by Constantine. So what you have here is, you know, a lot of Christians say, well, we worship the birth of the Messiah. But the truth is the only reason you worship around that day and give those presents is because you worship the sun, which in turn was Baal, which was Baal. So that's the only reason they would do it on the 21st if Constantine never changed the date, because it was basically the worship of the winter solstice, which deals with the sun, which in turn was Baal. So in reality, Christians worship the sun. That's it. You don't worship the S-O-N of Yahushua. You don't worship Yahushua. You worship the sun, because that goes all the way back. So basically, Nimrod set the foundations for pagan worship. So that's what the nugget right there. The nugget is that, hey, I don't, because that'll get confusing. You know, people say, well, I worship, you know, the birth of the Messiah, and, you know, no. You actually, there's no way around it. The only reason you give presents, because they used to put gifts under the, you know, the evergreen tree that sprouted up, you know, back in Nimrod's days, and that's what the myth says. So it's like they actually worship the sun, like that's they actually worship the sun solstice, because they changed the day. It was the 21st, and they changed it to the 25th. That's it. That's the nugget right there, is that they worship the sun and nothing else. It has nothing to do with the Messiah or nothing. So they worship the beast. And Nimrod was actually a forerunner for the anti-Messiah. So through all this trickery and this matrix, Hashatan basically has got them to worship the host of heaven, just like Yahuwah said that they would do, because they have been rebellious. Yahshua has been rebellious, so he gave us up to worship the sun, the moon, and the stars. He gave us up to worship them because they were rebellious. So that's what they have done, and we have to call them back. They don't know what they worship, you know. In vain they do worship him, you know. It's in vain. It's vanity. So, hey, man, you've been listening to the Poetic Energy Network station with Yahuwah Sai. This is still on the way. Man, it's been lovely, man, kicking it with you, man. We had a good time. We're going to have more for you next week, y'all willing, and continue to be blessed. But I want you to enjoy the rest of your Shabbat. You know, get your rest in and continue to just enjoy what Yahuwah is doing, and pray that we are worthy to escape those things that have come upon the world. And may Yahuwah bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May he enlarge your territory and keep you from evil. In Yahushua HaMashiach's name. Hey, we out of here.
And not only the image, but even down to the name. It's only in modern English that we have the name Jesus. A couple of hundred years ago, that name never existed.
The mainstream media is ignoring this information. Most of the alternative media is also ignoring it.
The way. Poetic Energy Network. Station.